All right. Let's go ahead and we'll pray, and then we'll jump right into the lesson on tonight. Father, Yah, we bless your name. We just glorify you for all that you do. We thank you, Yah, for just your presence. We give you the glory for the plans that you have for mankind. And we know that you're in total control of all things that's happening in the earth on today and even forever. And we just glorify you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be coming from Matthew, I believe it's chapter 2. And the way I'm going to do this, the way I'm going to do this lesson on tonight is this kind of like a pop quiz on y'all, but it's not a pop quiz, it's just a lesson, but at the same time, how we're doing it, you know, how we're doing it is going to be, you know, just, you know, just some different angles that I'm going to approach and teach this on tonight. Because, and the reason why I'm doing it that way is because there are specific things that I want y'all to be able to see in the scriptures, and it's, you know, it's encouraging to just, you know, see the scriptures in this manner and you know, the method by which we do and stuff like that. And so I just kind of want to just show you some things, okay? Now, again, we'll start in Matthew chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 1, and y'all, you know, just kind of bear with me. I got my grandbaby sitting right here in my lap, so we, you know, we just very relaxed as a ministry, you know. We don't get caught up in all the stuff that people get caught up in. So, now if she get a little bit rowdy, then I'll let her chill with somebody else. Okay. Now, verse 2, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now," people, I saw last, she looking rowdy about bow. Like, okay, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now when Yehoshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea," so you see it, as far as Bethlehem of Judea, we have pointed out in other lessons that we've dealt with over the years is, you know, there are other scriptures that talk about Bethlehem. There are a lot of events that happened here that have happened in Bethlehem. When you go look at other scriptures, I believe our father Jacob, when he saw, I think it was our father Jacob, who when he saw the angels descending, was that? Okay, when he saw angels descending and ascending into the heavens, it was in Bethlehem of Judea. And so a lot of significant events have happened as far as our nation is concerned when it came down to Bethlehem of Judea. Then there's the Bethlehem Ephrath also. So from some things we've looked at in Scripture, it gives us to understand that there are two Bethlehems. There are also two Jerusalem. And the best way to understand it is, you know, like where I explained, it's kind of like Dallas. You know, you have Dallas and then you have Fort Worth. But when you look at both of them as a whole, it's called the Metroplex. Well, Jerusalem is the same way, where, you know, it's kind of like, I'll just break it down from the perspective of Dallas. You have South Dallas, East Dallas, North Dallas, and West Dallas. Well, you have, Jerusalem of the Amorites and Jerusalem of the Jebusites. It's kind of like South Dallas, East Dallas, West Dallas, North Dallas, kind of deal. Okay? And so that's why when you're dealing with scriptures, you have to understand what portion of Jerusalem is talking about. The whole area may be classified in one fashion or another as Jerusalem, but when you look at certain areas, one may be Judea, and the other one may be Bethlehem of the Amorites. Jerusalem of Judea, and the other one may be Jerusalem of the Amorites, where you see it that Joshua dealt with, okay, when he was dealing with the five kings of the Amorites in the land of Canaan, okay? And so, you know, just things from that, you know, on the all just kind of give understanding of some things. Okay, now verse 1 says, now when Yehoshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from where? The east. Okay, from the east to Jerusalem. So, well, when we look at the word east, what does that give us an understanding of from dealing with Daniel chapter 11? Huh? Don't be afraid. So when you look at it from the east, you automatically start kind of saying, okay, from the east of Jerusalem. Okay, you know, you just said the east of Jerusalem or you know, all mankind travel east. And so from that perspective, when they settled in Shinar, they was traveling from the east according to Genesis chapter 11. And so there are things, you know, from that perspective. So every time I see east now, and it's in reference or dealing with Jerusalem, I just automatically say, okay, it's dealing with the east of Jerusalem. Okay, now, again, verse 2, again, you have the wise men. Now, you know how tradition teaches this, okay? Tradition points it out from a perspective of it being three wise men, and then they give the impression that these wise men were godly men, so to speak, okay? But when you look at it, the word wise men, it means magos, which is the kind of like a derivative, or has association with magi, or magician, or sorcerer. So you look at wise men in the scripture, you know, it doesn't necessarily point to them as being godly or spirit led men like the prophets were. These men were sorcerers. They watched the stars and different things like that. And so you look at them from a perspective of witchcraft. So this is who these wise men were. Now, you know, tradition, they often show it as being three wise men, but the Bible doesn't say, at least in Matthew chapter 2 it doesn't. I don't think it does in the other.
They say three because they gave three gifts, but you're right, yeah. It doesn't say how many.
Right, and so... So from that perspective, it does it doesn't say, you know, there were three wise men, and it just shows how we can take tradition or something from a traditional point of view. You know, cleanliness is next to godliness. You know, and I hear people, because they have heard that from a traditional standpoint, they'll turn around and say, well, you know, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. Like, I ain't nowhere in the Bible, you know. You know, kind of deal. And so these are things that we have to look at and be able to get away from it from a traditional standpoint, and that's the reason why I want to deal with the lesson on tonight. Okay, so there came wise men, doesn't give the number, from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star. But we have seen his star in the east. Okay? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Then verse 3 says, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So here you have Herod that's troubled, and then you also have Jerusalem who is troubled, or it says, in all Jerusalem, with him. And what you have to understand when it says all Jerusalem here, you know, you're dealing with King Herod, who's alarmed by this, and then you have other people who are in Jerusalem, even Israelites, who are alarmed by this because they understand the prophecy. They understand the prophecy concerning the Savior. We'll see this. We'll see this as we can continue to deal with this here. Verse 3 says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, well, when you know something about the people, you know something about our nation, of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, when you look at verse 4, this is kind of like the pop quiz kind of deal, but at the same time, you know, it's okay because I'm just doing it this way for the sake of seeing the whole picture and understanding based upon the written word, and then to be able to compare it based upon tradition. Okay, now when you look at verse 4. When you look at verse 4, it says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Okay? And he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, all of you who've heard the story about Christ being born in a manger without, you know, kind of, you know, using your cheat sheet as far as the Bible is concerned, where was Christ born? In a manger where?
Bethlehem.
Okay. No, it's Bethlehem. So he's born in a manger, in Bethlehem, and so you're looking at this verse 4 and verse 5. We can get confirmation as far as that. And I want y'all to look at that because we'll see some things happening from that understanding, okay? Now, they're asked the question. The scribes and the Pharisees are asked the question in verse 4. Verse 5 says, and they said unto him, unto Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea. Okay? In Bethlehem of Judea. In Bethlehem of Judea. Now, you can go back up and you see verse 1. Verse 1 says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Y'all seeing that? So this is saying the same thing, Bethlehem of Judea. And then when you, again, we skip down to verse 5 where we left off, you see a confirmation of it. Verse 5 said, they, the Pharisees and the scribes, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, okay? Thus it is written by the prophet, verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. So when you see Judea, this let us know that this is from the land of Judah. So Bethlehem of Judah, okay? So again, verse 5, I'll read verse 5 again. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Okay? Verse 6, by the prophet, verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. Okay, among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Okay, and so when you look at that, Micah chapter 5 gives the understanding of it. And remember, I was saying it was to Bethlehem. One is Bethlehem Ephrathah. I'm trying to remember the other one. I think I said Bethlehem of Judea, but Bethlehem of Ephrathah is the same one. I can't remember what the other one is, at least right now. But we may be able to find it if the time permits. So Micah chapter 5, verse 2, confirms where it's written by the prophet. Okay? It confirms where it's written by the prophet. Micah 5, verse 2 says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah. So Bethlehem Ephrathah and Bethlehem Judea is one and the same. Okay, and now Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Okay? So we understand that Ephrathah and Bethlehem Judea is one and the same place. Okay? Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Okay, and that's where we see the confirmation. The confirmation of it. John chapter 7, verse 42 says, "Has not the scripture said that Christ cometh as the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Okay? Revelation 2, verse 27 says, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron." The governor, that's where verse 6 confirms about the governor. "He will rule with a rod of iron. As the vessels of the potter, of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, and as I receive of my Father." Well, you can go look at the same thing in Isaiah chapter 11 to show you that the scripture confirms the Savior, where he would come from and how he would rule. No other book can give you a detail like that. You have people, you know, that really talk about the Quran is, you know, trumps the Bible and things like that, but the Quran can't give you detailed stuff like this. The prophet spoke things of old, and you're able to go look and see confirmation of it in the scripture. Isaiah 11 verse 4, Isaiah 11 verse 4 says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." Same rod as Revelation chapter 2. So we see these scriptures that confirm one another in the Bible. You know, as we always said, the Bible is excellent at interpreting itself. And so all we have to do is be able to study to find out where these things are. So when we see it's written, it lets us know that obviously if it's written by the prophet, it's somewhere in the Old Testament. Okay? Some of the Old Testament letting us know what's said about our Savior. Now, verse 7 says, "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." That's another battle key. He inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Verse 8 now says, "And he sent them to Bethlehem." Okay? "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word that I may come, and worship him also." Y'all see this now? Pay real close attention to verse 8 now, because we may come back to it. Now, verse 9 says, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Okay? Now, verse 11, we'll come back up if we need to, but I'm just going to keep reading. Verse 11 says, "And when they were come into the house." Now, That's saying something now. So I'm going to ask you a question again. Where was our Savior born? Bethlehem. Okay? The scripture points out that he was born in a manger, right? But notice what the scripture is saying here. What is the scripture saying that the wise men came into?
The house.
Okay? Now that should automatically send up a red flag to let us know that something's going on here, and we need to search it out. We need to understand what's going on in this verse here, because tradition will teach that the wise men went to the manger. You know, when you see all the Christmas plays and all this kind of stuff, he went to the manger. But the scripture points out that they verse 11, when they were coming to the house, they saw a young child. They saw the young child with his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Okay? And it's continuing on, so I want to continue on now. It says, and being warned of Yah in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. These wise men did. So Yah warned them in a dream. Okay? And so they depart and go into another way, okay? Now, verse 13 said, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of Jehovah appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. So this is where you see what we talk about. When you have your Egyptians, do y'all remember your Egyptians are descendants of who?
Israel.
They're miserable. Right, correct. They're miserable, and that's really what I wanted. So your Egyptians are descendants of Ham, and so Ham, you know, you get them that will say, well, Ham is where all the black race come from Ham, or dark-skinned people come from Ham. Well, when you look at our Savior here being born in Judea, he's of the tribe of Judah. Scripture points out that he's a lion of the tribe of Judah, so he's a descendant of Judah, so it lets you know that he's going out and hiding among the Egyptians or hiding among dark-skinned people. So that's where we get the teaching from when we say, okay, how can Mary, Joseph, and Yehoshua go hide out among a dark race people and be able to not be found out if they are the same complexion of the Jews today? So that's what we use, you know, we use that to point out that, okay, something is going on here to point out that you're not going to be able to hide out amongst these people if you are who you claim to be as a Jew today. You can't be Judah and go hide out among Africans unless you have the same physical appearance of these Africans, so to speak. And you can go look in Genesis chapter 50, you know, 48, 49, 50, along there, the time when Jacob, our father, died, and you can see that, you know, even the Canaanites couldn't distinguish the difference between the Egyptians or Mizraim and the descendants of Jacob or Israel, okay? Now, verse 12 says, and being warned of Yah in a dream that they should not return, verse 12, return to Herod, they departed into their own land. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of Jehovah appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Okay, so Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And then verse 14 says, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night. So it lets you know this is haste. This is haste going on. He's doing this in the area. And departed into Egypt. Verse 15 says, and was there unto the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Jehovah by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So when you look at this, this is another prophet revealing that this was spoken of ahead of time, that the Savior would be taken to Egypt to hide out until Herod the king had died. King Herod had died. You find this in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 confirmed these things. So y'all, that's why it is vitally important that we understand the Old Testament. Because when we start to understand the Old Testament and we get over in the New, all these things will make sense. All these things will make sense. And so it won't be just stuff popping out there and we're not able to connect the dots, because we're looking at these things that's been revealed in the Old Testament. So when you see Christians say the Old Testament has been done away with, and they spend all their time over in the New Testament trying to understand how things work, you see why they, you know, how it's easy to get off track. None of these scriptures made sense to me until I got an understanding of the Old. Now every time I read something and it goes, it's written or something along that line, immediately I say, okay, yeah, I remember where that says that. I remember where that says that in the Old Testament, and now because of that, you have a clear understanding of what that scripture's saying, because you're able to go look at it in the Old Testament and you see how it makes sense now as we're reading it over in the New Testament. And these things are not just coming out real strange and not making any sense. We know that our Savior, it was prophesied that our Savior would come out of Egypt. Y'all knew ahead of time. So that lets us know that Yah has control of this whole thing. He knew that Herod was going to try to kill him. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Verse 16 says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Y'all seeing this? And in all the coast thereof. Look at this now. From what? 2 years old and under. Y'all seeing this? According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Y'all seeing this here? So we're seeing what's going on as far as Herod is concerned, and we're seeing some things that's being revealed. As far as verse 16 is concerned. And so when you look at it, verse 16, I'll read it again, and then we'll kind of get into detail of this. Verse 16 says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof. In the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. You see this here? And so when you look at it from this perspective, you're seeing that something has happened, that something has happened where Herod really don't know the age of Yahushua. And it's revealing some things. Remember, we dealt with some things from a perspective of the house and then the manger. Then you see in the scripture calling him a young child. Okay, you see in the scripture calling him a young child. And so when you look at it from this perspective, Herod is saying, okay, I really don't know who he is. And I really don't know around about the time frame of his age. I just know from what I've had as far as the conversation with the wise men are concerned, let me just take out everybody from 2 years old on back. And so when you look at what's going on here, he's not only killing children in Bethlehem, But in the, it says in all the coast thereof. So he was killing kids in Bethlehem. He was killing kids in Jerusalem. He was killing kids all in that coastal area around Bethlehem trying to get to Yahushua, trying to get to our Savior. So Herod was thinking, okay, he's at least 2 years old or under. So in order to understand or in order to know the time frame by which he was born and the time frame by which I'm sending folks to kill him, I need to get all the kids from 2 years old under. 2 years old or under. And when we look at other scriptures, we'll see where Jesus was born. He was born in Bethlehem. But then there are some things that the scripture is also revealing to us. Now, other things that's being revealed here, verse 17, says, then was fulfilled, because he's killing these children from 2 years and under, according to verse 16. This is also prophesied in the scripture. It says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, saying in Ramah, was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and mourning, Rachel, is that Rachel or Rebecca? Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. This is another passage that's also found in the book of Jeremiah. Okay, in the book of Jeremiah, verse 18 says, "But in Ramah was there a voice heard lamentation and weeping and great mourning." Rachel weeping her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Prophet Jeremiah spoke of this. Verse 19 said, but when Herod was dead, behold, the anger of Jehovah appeared to Joseph in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Y'all see this now. I'm not going to get into it. Verse 21 says, and he arose, Joseph, and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of Yah in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Y'all seeing this now? Now, and I'm going to read verse 23, and then we're going to deal with some things in the whole chapter. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth. Y'all see it? And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called Nazarene. He shall be called Nazarene. Y'all see it here? Okay, so here we have. So here we have in Bethlehem, verse 1. Okay, verse 1, we have Bethlehem, verse 1. Verse 5, we have Bethlehem of Judea. Okay. Verse 8, we see Herod send them to Bethlehem. Okay. Then verse 23, we see him go to Galilee. Okay, we see him go to Galilee. And then we see he ended up in a city called, he turned aside, verse 22, he turned aside in the parts of Galilee, and he came to dwell in the city called Nazareth, that he might, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called Nazarene. Okay, now, when you look at all this and we take it and we take it together, where is this house? I want to, in other words, I want to search the scriptures to find out where is this house. And what verse was it? Why do you say the house is in Bethlehem? I'm not saying you're wrong.
He sent the wise man to Bethlehem. It doesn't give any indication of Jesus and Mary going anywhere different until after Herod is looking for him. So.
Okay, so when you look at this, So when you look at this from that perspective, why would, and I'm just asking, why would he kill, if since, why would he kill him from 2 years old?
No, well, because by the time the wise men got there, they didn't come when he was just born.
Mm-hmm.
The shepherds came when he was just born, but the wise men came like 2 years later.
So I'm doing all this for a reason, because, like I said, I want you to see how tradition teaches this, and then at the same time, I want you to see how the scripture point things out. Okay, so that when we see these different things, it won't put us in that mode or in that position where we are deceived. Okay, so hold on a minute, y'all. I got people asking me questions. And here's, so again, okay, I'm trying to see the best way to do this, man, without just, I'm trying to keep from just saying all these things without, because I want you to see it. Tell you what, the only way I'm gonna be able to do this effectively is go to Luke chapter 20. I mean Luke chapter 2. I can't do it any other way. Okay, Luke chapter 2 is the only way I can do it. Okay, Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 1. Luke 2 verse 1 said, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee." Okay? "And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." "Which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David." Verse 5 says, "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." So Mary hadn't had the child yet. Okay. Verse 6 says,
"Well, that explains a lot then. So basically Galilee or Nazareth is where they came from originally.
Right.
They just went to Bethlehem and paid taxes."
Right. And so which comes, and that's why I was trying to keep from approaching it that way. So I want to take you back with what you understand now. Now explain the house.
Well, it's still hard to say. I mean, it's not expressly said here, but I guess you can make the assumption that they may have been in Nazareth.
Let's just keep reading and see. Let's just see what the scriptures will do for us.
Okay? Because once the taxes were paid, they didn't have no reason to stay in Bethlehem.
Right. Right. Okay, so with that understanding, we're trying to uncover truth and understand now. So that's why I'm approaching it this way, and I'm getting you to think, and we're all learning as we're doing this. Okay. Now, verse 3 again says, and all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee. So Joseph leaves Galilee. I have this for now. Joseph leaves Galilee with Mary. Mary's pregnant with Yehoshua. She's pregnant with him. So Joseph leaves Galilee and he goes to Bethlehem, as verse 4 says. So Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth and Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So we know as we look at there are some other scriptures I got to pull in this just to make all this make sense. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1 said, "And Jehovah said unto Samuel, how long would thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite." Okay? "The Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among the sons." So when you look at the city of David, what's the city of David? What is the Bible points out a lot of passages of the city of David? What's it called?
Jerusalem.
Okay. So you're seeing also it says which the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Okay? Because he was of the lineage of David. Okay? He was of the lineage of David to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that should be delivered while they were there. Just like Ellen's pointing out, okay, she had the baby in Bethlehem, okay, while they were there being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, notice I keep saying while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." You know, that's what they get now, how they have babies all wrapped up real tight now. You know, they had Zoe wrapped up so tight. I mean, you know, it was like can move nothing, but they comfortable like that. Okay, and squalling clothed and laid him in a manger. Okay, that's where we get the manger from. And laid him in a manger, it says to eat, but it says a crib. It also says a crib, you know, and so I don't really know if it's a crib or if it's just.
It says a crib for a father, so it's not necessarily a baby's crib.
A baby's crib, okay. What is father, I wonder?
Food,
okay. Okay, a crib for food, okay. Okay, so we have to understand, okay. Now, then it says, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds. Notice, these are not the wise men, these are shepherds. Shepherds abide in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of Jehovah came unto them, and the glory of Jehovah shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, Jehovah. And this sign should be unto you. You shall find a babe. Notice it's not a star. The sign they're given is him wrapped in the swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly they came, and verse 13, and suddenly there came with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising Yah and saying, glory to Yah toward glory to Yah in the high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass the angel was gone away from them into heaven. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from him into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which Jehovah has made known unto us. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe. Notice it's a babe this time. And the babe. It also says young child, it's interpreted as young child, laying in a manger. Verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Verse 18 says, all they that heard wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising Yah for all things that they had heard, and seen as was told unto them. Verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished, so we see here 8 days go by. Okay? He's in this manger. And the scripture now says, and when 8 days were accomplished, for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yehoshua.
So this gives the impression then that they call him the first baby born.
Who?
The shepherds.
Correct. You're correct. So the shepherds see him the first day that he's born. And then 8 days later, he's named, okay? 8 days later, he's named. Verse 21 again, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of of the child, his name was called Yehoshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so this is another fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 22 said, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to Jehovah. Y'all seeing it? Verse 23, Verse 23, as it is written in the law of Jehovah, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto Jehovah. So that's why he was named after 8 days. He wasn't named until after 8 days and different things like that. And so we're saying this here, according to the law of our nation, no male was named until after he was 8 days old. But he received the name until then. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice to that which is said in the law of Moses, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen Jehovah the Christ, Jehovah Mashiach. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Yehoshua to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him in his arm and blessed Yah and said, Jehovah, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen salvation. Let me see if I want to stop here. Okay. I want to skip down. Okay. I want to skip down, but just for the sake of the time, let's skip down to verse 36. Verse 36 says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, or Asher, I believe. She was of a great age, and she lived. Now, when you look at this, y'all, you get a lot of Israelites who teach that not all the tribes of Israel saw. Was represented when the Savior was in the land of Israel. Well, you see, this woman is from the tribe of Asher, which further confirms that the 10 tribes are not scattered and lost, and it's only Judea, only the Judah and Benjamin in Judah. This woman here is from the tribe of Asher. Okay, so that's another confirmation of Scripture to show that all the 12 tribes are represented. Okay, or even you might have said 13 when you start adding some other things in there. Now, verse 36 again, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 year old. That's 84, right? Yeah, she was 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served Yah with fasting and prayers night and day. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto Jehovah and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of Jehovah. So how old is Yehoshua now? How old is Yehoshua based upon the verses that we read earlier? When did he get his name?
After 8 days.
8 days, okay. That's what I want you to remember. So what it says now verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of Jehovah, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. So we're looking at Scripture, and the Scripture is revealing to us that the Savior went back to Nazareth when he was after his career, well, after the after him being named at 8 days old. Y'all seeing it here? And then as you read verse 40, it says the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of Yah, and the grace of Yah was upon him. But as you see here, and so I'm just showing how we take the scripture and we continue to look at different scriptures and search it out to try to come to an understanding to be able to make sense of things when we're looking at other scriptures, okay? And so as we see here, it starts out dealing with the same story, so to speak. Okay, it starts out dealing with the same story. They're headed, but this time Luke gives more detail. So Matthew tells some things, but Luke gives some more information in order for us to make sense of Matthew chapter 2. Luke gives a little bit more information. Okay, so when we look at it from Luke's perspective, Luke says, okay, here we have Mary is with the child. She's great with the child. She goes to Bethlehem. She has the child. The shepherds come and visit the child. So once they leave, the Yehoshua is still a child because as you look at it here, after 8 days, he now goes to Jerusalem according to the law. He's named, and there are some other things that's being done according to the law. I'm trying to get back to the verse. Verse 21 says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Yehoshua. So he's circumcised, then he's named, that's according to our law. Then it says, which was so named of the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, she brought him to Jerusalem to present him to Jehovah. So he's cut out the 8 days old. Then she brings him to Jerusalem after 8 days. She brings him to Jerusalem. It says, and when the days of her purification, I don't know how long that is, to be honest. Okay, so let's go back to the law. If only we can understand it. According to the law, Leviticus 12, verse 2 says, and in the eighth day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Verse 4, this is Leviticus 12, verse 3 and 4. I'm gonna go back up to verse 2. Because in order to understand Luke 2, we have to understand according to the law. Leviticus 12, verse 2 says, speak unto the children Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and bore a man-child, then shall she be unclean 7 days. And according to the days of the separation of her infirmity shall be unclean. And in the eighth day, the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised. So you explain why the same is circumcised. Then it says, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. Then it says, she shall touch no hollow thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So when you look at her purification, verse 22, you have to look at this. You have 8 days for the Savior. You have, according to purification, what, 33 days?
No, seven days
for her purification, then 33 days. So you're looking at, what, 40? 40 days. So you're looking at 40 days for hers, and he is circumcised after days. So you're seeing these things going on. Verse 21 saying, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yehoshua, which was named of the eight. So he circumcised after 8 days. Then I guess you count the 7 days, and then the 33 days.
So I guess you had 32.
Right. So 40 days. Am I right? Yeah, 40. So you look at 40 days total. 40 days total before she presents him according to the law.
Well, in
our
language, it's going to give
him. Yeah, true. True. So when you look at it from that perspective, it shows you time frame passing. There's time frame passing, and so verse 23 is confirming what we have read. It says that it is written in the law of Jehovah, every male that openeth a womb shall be called holy unto Jehovah, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And so we're seeing this take place. Then we're going to skip back down to verse 37. It says, and she was a widow, this is Anna, she was a widow, 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served. So we know that Yehoshua is at least 40 days old before Mary is able to go in that temple. Okay? And then it says, but serve God in fast and prayer night and day. Verse 38 says, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto Jehovah and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of Jehovah, they returned into Galilee, into their own city, Nazareth. Okay, now understanding that at least Yehoshua is 40 days old. And I'm just saying from the perspective as far as what the scripture says. At least he's 40 days old when they're going back to Nazareth. Are we on the same page? Okay. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 2, and we'll look at it again. Okay. Now, Matthew chapter 2, we see the wise men now, you see the wise men, they see the star, verse 2, we see the wise men, they see the star in verse 2. We skip down to verse 5, verse 9 talks about Bethlehem. Verse 6 talks about Bethlehem. I want to get to the point where it says, verse 12. Verse 12 says, being warned, because these are the wise men, not the shepherds. And being warned of Yah in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. Well, we see the star in verse 9 led them to. Okay, the star. Okay, the star, well, I think it's from the east. Then as we look at it here, what was it? Verse 5 said the child was in the house. Was it verse 5? Okay, yeah, verse 11 said the child was in the house. Verse 11 said, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. So now as you see, it gives information, but it doesn't give all the information. But when we go into Luke chapter 2, that house starts to make sense. Okay? The house starts to make sense. And so now as we continue to read the verses, when we get down to verse 16, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under. So what the scripture is revealing to us, at this time, the Savior had to be around 2 years old. So since the Savior is around 2 years old, when the wise men go there, so he don't know exactly what age the Messiah is, and so he's trying to send these wise men to go into Bethlehem, because why? Because the Pharisees and the scribes tell him, the prophecy of where he should be born. Well, they don't know that he's in Nazareth. And so they're going and killing all the people in all that region because they're saying, okay, he's in Bethlehem, and in order to make sure we don't know quite where he is, so let's kill everybody in this region of Bethlehem and Jerusalem, all this coastal area, because they're trying to kill the Savior, but he's taking the east. He's taking the east. And that's how when you get over in the New Testament, we'll have to look at the New Testament from these perspectives, especially when we start dealing with the Gospels and start dealing with things where it says it's written. We're going to have to take portions from all of them in order to see the big picture. And that's why God designed it that way, because he wanted to seal the scriptures. He wanted to seal the scriptures to those who won't go look at the Old Testament and then not be able to make sense of some things once they get over into the New Testament. And so that's why we approach the scripture and start it from that point of view in order to see that, okay, this is what's going on. You know, looking at Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2, it gives the impression, like Allie had mentioned, that, okay, Christ is born, and whatever time it took them to pay their taxes and get some things situated, most likely they went back home. And when they went back home to Nazareth, because that's where he originally was living, Joseph and Mary was originally living in Nazareth, and they went back to Nazareth. Well, when they go to Egypt, and he's returning. What appears back to where he comes from. Nazareth. Okay, and so, you know, I wanted to just take a look at some things from that perspective to try to get an understanding of these things by looking at scriptures to try to you know, see and start tying up all these loose ends of where the scripture says, you know, what the scripture says in relation to what the tradition says. So that's why I wanted to look at the scripture that way. And we'll continue to do so as we'll be dealing with a lot of things in the New Testament. Now, since we've covered a lot of things in the Old, we'll be dealing with a lot of things in the New Testament to kind of pull out information like this, and remember, y'all, as we grow and learn, we'll make adjustments. We'll continue to make adjustments because we're still learning. Okay. All right. Any questions or comments? Okay. And like I said, y'all, it, you know, from looking at the scripture this you know, this way, it will help us to understand a whole lot of things. And when we finally get done with you know, a lot of things in the New Testament, like we've been covering the Old Testament. We jumped in and out of the New to confirm some things in the Old Testament. But y'all, if you remember, we've been covering the Old Testament for some years now. Now we've gotten an understanding of it, and now y'all is moving us into the New. And said, okay, now these are how we're going to start pulling these different things together to understand. Okay. And like I said, same way in the Old, once we come into the understanding, we'll always make adjustments. So just remember that. Okay. Again, last time, any questions or comments? Okay. All righty. Okay, that's all I have, then we'll go ahead and stop. Father, y'all, we just bless your name on today, and we thank you for just the facet of understanding. We just ask you to continue to lead us and guide us in truth. And as we understand even scriptures as far as the New Testament is concerned, we'll make adjustments as they become necessary. And we thank you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. That's all I have. Y'all remember, worship Yah in spirit and in truth. You're dismissed.